without the blood of Jesus. I have a great big plan today. But in my heart, I'm stirred. If I didn't need to get done what I need to get done today, I'd probably just totally go in another different direction this morning. Amen. Nothing but the blood. I believe I can inject that into this message this morning very easily. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for the church. We're sitting here today as recipients of one thing, and that is the goodness of God. The goodness of our God. Amen. The book of Acts is where I want to start this morning. I don't intend to be very long today. This is not new scripture. It's familiar territory. But I believe that it's very imperative territory. I think it's something that we once again need to look at and remind ourselves of the scripture. In the book of Acts chapter number 2, I know that we've read this and I want to read it again, starting in verse number 38. Peter again, when he began to preach after Pentecost, after the first part of Acts chapter number 2, and the disciples and those that was there at that time, filled with the power of the Spirit of God, we can read that in the first part of Acts chapter 2. Peter began to preach a message and he started that in verse number 14. And then at the end of this, we can see that where again he was talking to the Jews and those that was there at that time and began to tell them of what they had done to Jesus, just like Stephen. Stephen told them the message of Jesus and how that he was crucified. I heard Ray H. Hughes say this one time, and I want to say it again this morning, that Pentecost, we talk about tongues, wind, and fire, and everything that happened on Pentecost, which I'm for and I'm an advocate of all. But yet Pentecost was for the salvation of the church, the salvation of souls. I heard Ray Hughes preach that, and he said Pentecost was about soul winning. And I concur and I believe that today, because we can see what Peter said in his message, several different places throughout Peter's message after he was filled with the Spirit, talked about salvation. We can see that. We're not going to turn there right now, but we can see that in Acts 2 and 21. He says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says that also in Acts chapter 4, that neither is there any other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Yet Peter starts off in verse 38 and he uses the word repent. Now, we know, if we've been in church any length of time at all, we know what that word means. But for the benefit of those that may not know that today, repent just means to turn around. It means a change of course. If you're going 100% in the wrong direction, he said you've got to repent of your sins and you've got to turn around and you've got to follow Christ. It's that 180, I think it's a 180, 360 is all the way. I think it's that 180. You turn that 180 and you go after Jesus Christ with everything that is within you. When we look at what Peter said there, we see this in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, as he talked to those Jews and the different ones that was there at that time, and he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name which is the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord, the Lord our God, shall call. There's no expiration date on the infilling and the indwelling of the Spirit of God. If they needed the Holy Ghost then, how much the more do we need the Holy Ghost now in this world that we're living in today? Verse 40 says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. Crooked. Verse 41 and says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look in verse 47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Today, as I processed everything to get to this point in this service, there would be those that would say, why in the world would we ever want to join a local church? Why in the world is that necessary? I hope I'm going to put just a teensy little bit of light onto those questions today. It's not going to be exclusive. It's not going to be a total wraparound, if you will, of everything that is in there. But we all know from the book of Acts we read, and this is where we understand the origin of the beginning of the church after Jesus' resurrection was here in the book of Acts. We see the word church used here. So when I began to think about this, I thought about the people of Acts and the people of Acts 20, Acts chapter 2, all the way through the end of the chapter, through 28. So what did I learn through that? And what is going to help us today in our setting? First of all, when I think about this, I begin to look in verse number 47 again. And it said, and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Again, when you look at the word church, we know this from previous study. It's a word that is ecclesia, and it's actually the same word, ekleo, I think it is. And it talks about the called out ones. It's the same word we used last week in synonymous as sanctify or a sanctified people. We'll get back into that message tonight a little bit. And it means basically holy ones. It talks about saints. It talks about the set apart one. And let me say this for the benefit of tonight's message and last week's message and tying them together, that the church is His people. We are a set apart people. We are a sanctified people. We are in the world, but our desires is not for the things of the world. And when he uses this word here, when Luke was writing this to the people there at the book of Acts recording this, he said he added to the church daily. So every day, this church was an active church, and there was events went on within this local church here at Jerusalem whereby people were saved and added to the church. So what did I learn as I looked through this? There's four things real fast at the top of this message that I want to get to. And I want to kindly walk through this. Again, it's not inclusive. It's not everything I could put in it. But it's some of the things I thought about. So what is the church today, or what did I learn through this? First of all, looking at the book of Acts, I can see, first of all, that when Luke was writing this and recorded this, I saw that the church was a faithful church. If I'm going to be a church member, if I'm going to be part of a local church, I need to be a faithful member. I need to be faithful not only to God, but as much as they were faithful here in the book of Acts, I need to be faithful to my local church. Amen. And here again, I'm going to get in trouble just a little bit this morning. The Bible says that the devil is not the author, the devil is the author of confusion. The very being of the enemy of our soul is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And the Bible teaches us about Satan himself, that he's going to do anything and everything to confuse us, and to do anything he can to destroy us, anything he can do to steal from us, and anything he can do to kill from us. So what do we see when we see faithfulness to the church? First of all, we can see again that Jesus instructed them as they were to go over into Jerusalem and wait and tarry there until they be endued with power from on high. I looked at the word faithful, and not only did I see them as faithful in the essence that Jesus led them to the upper room, and yet when Jesus ascended and went back to be the mediator at the right hand of the Father, watch this, it's very important. If the church had not been faithful then, you and I would be in trouble now. So this early church, they were very faithful to the call of Jesus. Amen. The second thing I thought about is something that Jesus even talked about in John chapter 15. We're not going to turn there. We're just going to mention it and move on. Is that how that they were not only were they a faithful church, but they were a fruitful church. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, Jesus, again, he talked about his people bearing fruit and more fruit and much fruit, that their fruit remain. Galatians chapter 5 talked about all the fruit of the Spirit there, goodness and mercy and joy and peace and long-suffering and all of those of Galatians chapter number 5. This early church was the recipients of the power of the Holy Ghost. And then as a part of that, they were a fruitful bunch of people, if you will. We can see that throughout the Scripture, because the Bible says here, if you think about the fruitfulness of the church, now watch this, I believe this is very important. It's because the Bible said that they were fruitful. It didn't use that word, but you can see that they were fruitful simply because the Bible said that they added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I got a little old apple tree out in the front yard. Roger seen it the other day. If I can keep the deer off of it, not going to happen. But I've watched these little apple trees, and I looked about a month back maybe, and they was just little blooms on that thing. A little bit later, they was little bitty teensy weensy little apples coming out. Now they're about big as a golf ball. They'll never make it any bigger, if you know why. I seen three deer at the lower end of my yard this morning. Take a gander at that. But the point of the matter is, it's a tree, and it's producing. Sheep beget sheep. Somebody says, well, it's the preacher's job. Everybody's got a job. I don't want to meddle too much today, but I'll get into it. But we see that they were a fruitful church. Not only were they faithful, but they were fruitful. Amen. They were a fruitful church. I'm actually going to turn to Galatians. I wasn't going to do this, but because it was not part of my text, but I just feel compelled to read that. Galatians chapter 5, we read this again where the Bible talks about their fruitfulness, and we see this, and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, the law cannot contain that or dictate that. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But they were a fruitful church. Not only were they a fruitful church, and I like this one. This is very important. They were a family church. When I think about being faithful to God, that means I'm faithful to you. Come on, somebody. We're faithful to each other. Hello? I mean, we are faithful to one another. Pray ye one for another. It's my obligation as a pastor to pray for you, and your obligation as a member to pray for me. Pray ye one for another. James teaches us that. But not only were they fruitful, but they were a family church. It's been always been my desire to be in a family that we all can belong to. I thought about the church as a family. There's so many families breaking apart today. So many families that can't get along today. So many families today that bicker. So many families today that hurt one another. Hello? And I thought about a family church. And you think, well, how in the world can you get a family or a church being a family out of this this message right here this morning? Joanne will remember this. You remember years ago, Joe Delk wrote a lot of the songs in the convention book. He's gone on to glory now, I'm pretty sure. But this, there was one of the songs in there that said, His blood has made us one. I could almost sing the chorus on it right now. His blood has made us one. We're a great big family. You say, well, where do you get that in this scripture? Well, I can only look back at the Word and see what the Bible says. And it says there about the Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost in verse 39 of Acts chapter number 2. And this is what he says. He said, for this promise is unto you. I'm sending the Holy Ghost to you. This generation right here that received the Holy Spirit. I'm sending this to you. And then he says, when you look at this, I'm going to send it to your children. Now, some of you that have not been around here very long, I remember doing this years ago in one of the messages, because when I came here, I did not know 12 years ago everything that I was going to be going through. And one of the things that God put on my heart even then was to build a bridge of hope from one generation to another. That's always been in my heart as we pastor this church. Well, when I begin to think about that, I begin to think about something that I did even way back in the day. And Bobby Sparks was a part of that day, and a few other people. I think Bobby was about 85, maybe along through there. I don't remember exactly. But I had Ann Leonard on this end of the building. Ann was 95. Bobby was 85. I had somebody else here that was 75, somebody else here that was 65, somebody else here that was 55 and 45 and 35 and 25 and 15 and 5, and then I had an infant. Think about that. Because that is what people look at a pastor and say, you've got to be willing to minister to every generation. How would you like to do that today? But we can if we develop the mindset that there's no soul left behind. That there's no family left behind. Family, if a family is a family takes care of family. See, that's my heart today. These little ones that's around here this morning, I want to be able to minister to those little ones as church members as much. Somebody says, well, it ain't my place. It ain't my calling. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth laborers into the field. It may not be your particular thing, but I promise you, if you will seek God long enough, God will show you what your purpose is in his body. Somebody says, well, I've been there. I've done that. I've done it for years, it's time to let another generation take the reins and let them do it. But here's the thing I thought about. Where are they at? Sherry and I this week, you know, we think a lot, and people say and help us, and we get ideas and concepts, and we need somebody to take care of this class right here. Well, who's going to do it? You know, we got a lot of empty classrooms around here on Sunday morning. Who's going to do it? And you know, you don't have sometimes people in the classrooms, and there's all kinds of ideas and there's all kinds of things we need to do. But the whole process is who's going to do it? And the thing that I thought about when I thought about a family church is because we all need to take the responsibility of the vision of the church upon ourselves to be prayer warriors and to be praying about the mission of the church. They were a missional church. But let me go back to this verse first, because we see this promises to you and to your children, another generation, and to all that are afar off, another generation, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call, another generation, and all the way through to where we're at today. Let me just share my heart with you today. We as a church, we need to let people know they're important to us, and we do that through the family concept. Not only were they a fruitful, a faithful church and a fruitful church and a family church, and I like this one too, they were a forward church. They were a forward-looking church. We learn from our past. We're thankful for our past. I thank God for our past. But somehow we got to get out of the past. And we've got to embrace God and see what God is saying today. What's today's date? 23rd? 24th, long through there, of July 2022. We got to see what God is saying today. Again, I appreciate where we've come from. I appreciate our heritage. I appreciate all of that. But they were a forward church. We see this in this scripture right here because of what the Word of God says. As I begin to read this, because he says in verse 47 again, it said, praising God, they were magnifying God, they're a worshiping church. That wasn't part of my thought process today. And having favor with all the people, they were a people that had favor with the people. And it said, and the Lord added to the church, not us, but the Lord added to the church. And then he says, daily. They were moving forward. There's a little cartoon that I have seen in days gone by that shows a rabbit. That rabbit's ready to go, buddy. He's just ready to run that race, you know. And then it shows a snail with a big old shell on his back, got the big old antenna sticking up. And then it says in the caption, it says, never criticize anyone that's making progress, no matter how slow they're going. And I thought about that in the fact of how that if we're moving forward, it may not be at a rabbit's pace, but we can make a forward motion in doing the things that God would have us to do. Not only that, those four things, but I thought about how that when you think about the church again, and again, I don't have time to talk about everything that I've got pages of notes I wrote down. I know better than to write that many notes. I know better. I've taught myself, but I know better. But I guess this is kind of where I want to go, because I don't want to keep you too long this morning. I'll just give you my highlights and move on. So what do I need to do to become a part of the church? Peter said it plain. You've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. Except you are born again, the Bible says you cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you don't even know the function or the purpose of the church until you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You say, well, what happens when I do that? Now watch this. You become a part of what we call the universal church. And the reason I say that, because you become a part of the church everywhere, around the world. Wherever the people are that name the name of Christ, you become a part of that church universally when you become born again. Second thing is, we've got to understand that we are the body of Christ. I'm leaving out a lot of stuff, but we are the body of Christ on earth today. He reminded Peter in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, when Peter and Jesus was having this conversation. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19, you can read it, but I'm not going to take the time to read it all. But when Jesus was there, he asked the disciples who was men saying that he was. And then he looked at Peter and said, Peter, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we see this of how that Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I may be the shepherd over the local flock, but I didn't die for you. I didn't give my life for you in the sense that Jesus did. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Jesus proved that he loved the church. Again, if you look in Ephesians, I read this scripture the other day, and it said that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. It's his church. It's a universal church. And then we look at the local church in the context of the scripture. Again, there's a lot in here that I'm trying to just buzz through. They knew who was among them because they numbered them. They knew it. They numbered and they knew who was a part of that local church. They even numbered them when they went into the upper room because they said the number of them was 120 that went into the upper room. They knew those that labored among them. They knew that those that was for them. And Jesus said, if you're not for him, you've got to be against him. So in the local church, we know those as we join a local church who are in like vision with one another and who are walking in harmony with one another. And I just happen to be the under shepherd of the church because he's appointed pastors, he's called pastors, and I never intended to be a pastor. It wasn't my idea, I can tell you that right now. I've been doing it over 30 years now, and I must have got something right along the journey, you know. I ain't quit yet. Come on, somebody. But he said he would give you shepherds after his own heart. And all of that's tied in to being a part of a local community called the church. We are a local community. I am not saying that Thomasville is the only church on the block. Now, this is not in my notes. I'm going to say it my way. But it's the only church on the block for me. I've always said that I'm in the church of God because that's where God put me to be a pastor. I'm not saying that other churches are not preaching. I'm not saying that other churches are not doing the work. But I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God here at Thomasville. And I believe together we can work together to make this happen. And then we think about when we look at this last step of how we're to grow. We're to grow in fellowship. The Bible reminds us again that we're to grow into fellowship, conduct ourselves together in community. Paul told us that we're to grow. He told young Timothy, I'm not going to turn there, but it's in there in 2 Timothy 3:16, to study to show thyself approved. Paul says these words in the scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We are Christ's disciples and we are Christ's followers. The last thing is this, and I've already said this, but I want to say it again. Years ago, y'all might remember a man by the name of T. David Sestar. David Sestar was our evangelism director. He used to do these Super Saturday seminars. They were Sunday school seminars and would come and teach seminars on Saturday mornings to our Sunday school staff and our leadership. And I remember this from years and years and years and years ago. He used these words. He says, find a need and fill it. Jerry Chitwood, when Brother Chitwood was our state overseer, he was an electrician by trade. He worked for Georgia Power for years. He used the analogy one year, get plugged in. We need to get plugged in. When you join the local church, it's you coming forward and getting plugged in. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to learn how to be a servant. Those of you that know this, I've said it many, many times. Jesus took a towel and he girded himself and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Washing feet is more than touching feet. It's actually serving one another. Jesus was the greatest example of service on this earth. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing to go to the cross to serve his Father. And then he was willing to go to the cross and give his life a ransom for you and to me. What would have happened if Jesus would have said, hey, get somebody else, not me. And here's my last statement. God qualifies those he calls. I heard that as a young preacher so many times. If you'll provide him a vessel, the rest of it he will make up with his anointing. I heard that so many times. And you know what? I've seen it to be true over and over and over again. And that's what God's looking for. And that's what we're doing today as you come and present yourself for membership today. All these, I think, that are coming today, I think I've talked to all of them. I think I have. So as I call your name today, I want you to just come and stand across the front, and Sherry can come and stand with me. I'm going to try my